Blog Talk Radio.
I shall impersonate a man. Come, enter into my imagination and see him. Bony, hollow-faced, eyes that burn with the fire of inner vision. He conceives the strangest project ever imagined, to become a knight-errant and sally forth into the world righting all wrongs. His name, Don Quixote de la Mancha. Hear me now, the bleak and unbearable world, thou art base and debauched as can be. And the knight, with his banners all bravely unfurled, now hurls down his gauntlet for thee. I am I, Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha. My destiny calls and I go. And the wild winds of fortune shall carry me onward, oh, whithersoever they blow. Whithersoever they blow. And servants of sin, all your dastardly doings are past. For a holy endeavor is now to begin, and virtue shall triumph at last.
The Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Before we start, I just want to mention one thing. Last night we opened our show, and I had about, I'll say at least 10 photos up there that are meant to show you pain and suffering. And also the communist influence on the country. And I had music to match those photos, and I used the Bee Gees' A Tragedy. But what happened was the clip that I had of that song was too short, and it ended quickly. And in a panic to put music up there, I hit another tune, which was called the Dirty Boogie. It was inappropriate for the photos that were up there. So I contacted a Blog Talk Radio and asked them if there's any way I can re-edit that portion of the show, and they told me I can. So I'm going to work on that and clean up that very sloppy mistake I made last night. So I just want you to know I'm not without humbleness. Okay, I'm driving along merrily in my car, being cut off by people who are either texting or trying to get to their drug dealer. And you know, I'm your typical senior citizen. I always have the right blinker on, and I have a bumper sticker that says "We break for fat chicks." I'm only kidding. You know, don't take it personally. Some of my best friends are fat. including me. So what are we talking about here today? I'm listening to Mark Levin coming up to Garden State. Mark is, I sent him a tweet. I said, you are our Thomas Jefferson. This guy is a one-man band. He stands up against all the forces of evil, including the ones in the Republican Party. I give him a lot of credit. And he goes after his own people. He says he's a fellow tribesman, and he calls them out for not defending Israel. And last night I paid a tribute to a Latino Marine who showed up to defy the Hamas demonstration in front, I believe in front of the White House. Or it could have been in front of the UN. He had two flags, an American flag and an Israeli flag, big ones. And the terrorists surrounded him. They spit on him. They wanted to hurt him. But some of the other terrorists who were not as bellicose pushed them back. But this Marine stood his ground, and he would not give. He would not give. And finally, I heard a siren, and one little policeman, an elf from, it might be the D.C. police. You know, the ones that bring the Kennedys home when they get caught drunk at 3 o'clock in the morning. With their car on the steps of Congress saying that they're going to Mexico. You never heard that story. You got to Google, man. You got to get caught up on the times. One elf showed up on a motor scooter with his little siren going, and then he got his pad out and he started taking notes. Unbelievable, man. But that Latino Marine was the only one in that whole mob that stood up for Israel. One Marine. Semper Fi, baby. And speaking of Semper Fi babies, we got a guy down in Mexico who I heard last night after I sent an email to the Mexican embassy asking if they could release him. And send them home. Now, if the Mexican embassy got 10,000 emails tomorrow, and if any politician who had two big Liberty Bells would turn around to his counterpart in Mexico and say, you have that Marine all this time, and you put off his trial to August, and now you're putting it off again until November. If you can't send us our Marine, we're going to stop doing business with you in all ways, shapes, and forms. We're going to close the border, including the bridges to Mexico. We're going to shut you down. We're going to drop you like a bad habit. Now, we don't want to do that. We love Mexico. We love the Mexican people. But you're hurting one of ours who needs help, and we're here to help him. So please, please, we will do anything to accommodate you. Let us have our son home, to take home. We want him home. We don't want him deteriorating in a Mexican prison while the president of Mexico plays a tough guy. Yes, don't make us come down here and make you the 51st state. And then nobody will come across the border because you'll have all the benefits in your patria. Yes, please give us our boy back. We want our son home. Please do that. And I don't even know his name anymore. That's how quick the press took him off the front page. The communist press. We're going to talk about the communist press. I'm going to give you a tune, and then I'm going to gear up to talk about the communist press. And I think our music tonight was more appropriate for the pictures we put up. And, oh, that's a nice one. Oh, that's an Everly's Brothers. I've been pushing Everly Brothers. Oh, here's the John Kerry song. Did you ever hear the John Kerry song done by the Everly Brothers?
Johnny's a joker. He's a bird. A very funny joker. He's a bird. But when he jokes my honey, he's a dog. His joking ain't so funny. What a dog. Johnny is a joker that's trying to steal my baby. He's a bird dog. Johnny sings a love song like a bird. He sings the sweetest love song you ever heard. But when he sings to my gal, what a howl. To me he does a whoop dog on the prowl. Johnny wants to fly away and puppy love my baby. He's a bird dog. Hey bird dog, get away from my quail. Hey bird dog, you're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, you better leave my lovely love alone. Hey bird dog, get away from my chick. Hey bird dog, you better get away quick. Bird dog, you better find a chick and little of your own. Johnny kissed the teacher.
He's a bird.
He tiptoed up to reach her.
He's a bird.
Well, he's a teacher's pet now.
He's a dog.
What he wants, he can get now.
Well, what a dog.
He even made the teacher let him sit next to my baby.
He's a bird dog.
Hey, bird dog, get away from my quail. Hey, bird dog, you're on the wrong trail. Bird dog, you better leave my lovely love alone.
John Kerry. Yeah, he is a bird dog. He's a bird dog for the Communist Party. You know, you don't have to be poor to be a communist. You could be filthy rich. Now, Putin is worth billions. Putin, who's loved by the Russian people. Yes. Putin, who wants all the satellites back. Putin, who sells more AK-47s in Africa and Arabia than any other country. Putin! Yes. He walks around naked. Putin! Yes, macho man. Macho man. You know, I have a picture of him, you know, with his shirt off, exposing his body. I have a picture of him in the center of the village people. Yeah, it's a good one. I also have a picture of a cruise missile coming out of a submarine, just breaking the water. And the caption underneath says, 911, we forget nothing. Okay, okay. I won't push any more buttons. Just let me finish this row. Yeah. That's how it's all going to start, that somebody is going to turn their plane around and go where they're not supposed to. Okay. So we're going to talk about Obama's covered-up casualty count of World War III. America is 13 years into World War III, and the only ones who know we're in a war are the troops. Only 1% fights this war with little support. 99% of the country thinks this is a movie episode. Congress and the Senate don't even know there's a war on. They're on a 5-week vacation. This communist president is on vacation between vacations. He has no idea we're in World War III, unless he is designing it. He took an entire carrier task force to Africa on safari. At least 6,000 sailors, 200 pilots, and 200 planes. He did not even stop to visit his birthplace in Nairobi. The first illegal immigrant president. My dog has better papers, and they're not sealed at Harvard where military intelligence can't get to them. Just like at the Private Manning's A Fight Back, A Pro-Gay Memos. Remember he leaked all those 200,000 top secrets because he was protesting discrimination against gays? So he leaked it to the world. That'll punish those Americans, those homophobes. And don't forget that the KGB agent wannabe Snowjob Snowden, who stole 1,200,000 classified documents and gave China first a dibs on them. Okay, go through them and go pick out what you want, and then I'll take the rest over to Mother Russia for good communist news. All this on Osama bin Laden's unwound watch. 5 minutes after he was in office, he reclassified the U.S. military as NATO troops. All the Americans killed on his watch, not counting the Navy SEAL chopper fiasco, 22 SEALs and 18 other Americans. Not counting the Benghazi 911 call that never got answered but did get listened to. That alone is a court-martial offense for the CIC. He is the commander-in-chief. He is the commander-in-chief. Cowardice in the face of the enemy. And then on top of it, he tells Putin's errand boy, I can do more after I win reinfection. And he tells the American people, you're going to be paying $8 to $10 a gallon of gas. Yeah, and you're going to pay a lot of money for your electricity because I'm shutting down the coal industry. Unbelievable. He tells them what he's going to do to them. And then he goes on to fire the most effective combat general, McChrystal, the commander of Afghan forces, because he thinks Obama is a sissy. He called me a sissy. I'm taking him down. Yeah, you're taking the country down, buddy. You're taking the military down. You're taking the economy down. Oh, stock market dropped another, 60-80 points today? Oh, we're on a roll. Yes, it's the greatest economy since sliced bread. We're on a roll. We broke 17,000. Hello? Hello? When is this rain going to stop? Yeah, unbelievable, man. Yep, so he fired General McChrystal, and Afghanistan went to total waste. This isn't the first time Americans have been killed and backshot. I said at least a year ago, attention vets over in Afghanistan, do not let anybody get behind you of the friendlies. Always have your weapon pointed in their direction and always be behind them. Do not give them the opportunity to backshoot you. And don't worry about protocol. Just tell them in New Yorkese, sorry, buddy, I'm going to watch your back. I don't want you watching my back. Okay, that's it, man. That's my rule. You want to play with me? And that's my rule. And I'm talking about the three Marines that got gunned down by a T-boy, the sexual slave of a Afghan officer who was thrown off the base by another commanding officer who was relieved, and he was brought back. He was replaced. I won't say he's relieved. But the commanding officer that didn't want this snake on his base because he was cruel had him removed. And then the next commanding officer that replaced the good guy stupidly brought this guy back. And he sent his T-boy down to the basketball court where three Marines were throwing the ball around, unarmed. Never be without your weapon, no matter where you are. I saw pictures of an air base in Iraq, and everybody was lined up on the chow line, and of about, I would say, 50 people on the line, only two had weapons. You don't do that in a war zone. That weapon has got to be hugging you at all times. And if somebody orders you to be without your weapon, oh, you laid me off? Oh, you don't want me to work anymore? Oh, I don't work without my weapon. Yeah. Well, you'll get a court-martial. Oh, yeah, and so will you. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm a commanding officer. Yeah? Okay. Let's see what happens when Fox News finds out what you did. We'll see where you go. And last night, as I played the other president of the United States, I said that any officer who sits on a court-martial with no combat experience must go to the front line tomorrow. As a matter of fact, right now, how long will it take you to pack, Captain, Major? How long? Oh, I can be ready in 20 minutes. Good. Okay, you're going right to Afghanistan in 25 minutes. Taxi! Yeah, and you'll see different decisions than some of the sorry-ass sentences that they're handing out to innocent GIs. So, firing McChrystal was a takedown. Well, let me see where else I said. Putting GI families out on the street after charging husbands and fathers with premeditated murder for fighting back Afghan murderers. Forcing young families to sell their meager belongings to move to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, to wave every day at dad behind bars. They should open up, just like the VA scandal, they should open up the sentencing scandal for politically correct, look for politically correct sentences and the destruction of the family unit on the behalf of the Obama administration. Okay. Lieutenant Behenna was one of those victims. He got a 15-year sentence for fighting back. I think he served 5 years, and then they were going to give him probation if he kept his mouth shut and didn't talk to the press and just stayed low-key. His family lived in anguish and spent money, tons of money, to fight the government that steals yours to get their son clemency or get him acquitted. And the first thing he said when they stuck a mic in his face was, I have two cellmates that are on suicide watch. Please help them. Okay? This is what we're doing. Obama doesn't want any Americans in the U.S. military. He's told you he's going to have his own army. He doesn't want anybody that has a family. He doesn't want anybody that worships Jesus Christ. He only wants negative people doing negative things, the negatives. And he wants a broken U.S. military that will never be able to fight again. They almost succeeded after Nam when the Democrats sold out the military. They almost succeeded. And for years, America walked around with their tail between their legs. And then George Bush kicked the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and the spirit of America rose once again, and pride was restored to everybody that waves a flag. And now, because we got uppity, the communists are going to make us eat the ashes of that flag, and they're going to destroy our God, and they're going to destroy our country. The Democrat Party, and you can go to YouTube and see the vote, voted God out of the Democrat Party. Three times they called the roll, and three times they said, get rid of God. And the third time they lied about it for the press. No, no, we're going to keep God. Yes, majority rules. And the majority shouted, no, we don't want him. So, Lieutenant Behenna served time for fighting for his country. In his first interview upon being released early and warned not to talk to the press, asked for help for his two cellmates on suicide watch. Now, here's the big secret. Obama's body count is somewhere between 2,200 and 2,500 dead, not counting this major general tonight. Okay, and remember, for every one dead American, there are seven wounded. And those wounds, GIs in World War II died of those same wounds. It's only because of our medical expertise and advancement in treating wounds that these guys are alive. And that's why you see everybody's got prosthesis, okay? But yet we still don't have an IED pre-detonator. We can do things. We can make paralyzed people walk with the aid of electrical devices. We can do wonders with laser surgery, but we can't use a laser to find a bomb buried in the ground awaiting a military vehicle to pass by it. That's not right. 13 years. At the beginning of World War II, the British, in order to deal with the German Junker flights overnight and bombing raids on London, invented radar so that they could pick out the enemy in the dark of night. And invention is the mother of necessity, except when it comes to finding an IED detonator, pre-detonator, identifier, and pre-detonator. No, the only way we find them is when we go over them, and then we have to put fake legs on people. It's not right. It is not right. Technology should be for the military first. And think about this. He who rules the skies rules the world. He who rules the skies rules the world. And you better pray to God it's never anybody but us. Oh, what do you mean? The Peruvians would. Give me a break, man. Give me a break. So, Obama's body count of 2,200 to 2,500 dead Americans classified as NATO troops. You remember George Bush. Every GI that got a splinter got the news. It was on all the communist networks, ABC, Always Be Communist, NBC, Nothing But Communist, CNN, the Communist News Network. Unbelievable. Did I say ABC, Always Be Communist? It is. And don't forget the National Public Radio. Yeah, the audio Pravda. Unbelievable. Oh, and speaking of audio Pravda, this girl, Erin, I think she's on CNN. She was complaining, and Mark Levin played the clip. I think was it Mark Levin? I might have it wrong. But one of the conservative talk show hosts, might have been Hugh Hewitt, played a clip of her complaining that the two white Americans got preferential treatment because they had the Ebola new medicine, and it's curing them, and she wanted to know why the blacks weren't getting that same treatment, why whites got preferential treatment. Now this girl is white. And she only goes to prove my theory. Behind every black group claiming they need a fairer shake is some white person stirring them up. You know? So I said Erin should get a job over there. She should go and do like these white Christian volunteers did. And they offered their lives to worship Jesus Christ, because they're from the Samaritan's Purse, or they're from a Baptist, I believe, organization. has nothing to do with the communist government of the United States. But you can see what a hypocrite this woman is. She's shouting from safety. You know? She ain't going to go and wash bodies like Mother Teresa. No way in hell. She's not going to adopt a Latino baby on the border. No way in hell. But there she is playing the camo card. Yes, I think when she goes to Halloween parties, she dresses up as Karl Marx. So let's see where we are here. Obama's body count. Bush. Everything, somebody stubbed their toe. The microphone was in front of Bush's wounded or dead. Every night they were bashing Bush. Bush killed him today. Bush killed more today. Bush killed more today. Hey, what about the 2,200 that died on Obama's watch in Afghanistan? Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Mind your own business. What's your Social Security number? We'll turn you into the IRS. Yeah. So the big secret is there's 2,200 dead Americans are coming back on Obama's watch. And they're being buried. Everybody thinks they're being buried in Holland because they're classified as NATO troops to be identified later. Yep. Obama's body count of 22 to 2,500 dead Americans classified as NATO troops to be identified later will surpass the Bush body count in Iraq of 4,700. The last general killed in action was in Nam. Bush lost in Afghanistan over 8 years. Guess how many? 461 Americans. Okay? So if you take 7 wounded for every 1 dead, you got 23,000 wounded Americans here. If you take Obama's body count of 2,200 and 7 wounded, you got 15,000 wounded veterans who can't get treated in a VA hospital because that crap's being covered up too. And my solution is not to appoint a politician to run the show. My solution is to close it, auction off the buildings, and privatize the VA. And privatize the IRS. And do away with the EPA. That's a good saying. Do away with the EPA. And the Bureau of Land Management, they got to go too. All they are modern-day cattle rustlers and sodbusters. Yeah. Godbusters is the Democrat Party. But anyway, and go to YouTube, type in a thank you, General McChrystal, Abu Tam, and see for yourself his relationship with Afghanis. Did you ever see Obama get off the helicopter and the Marines salute him? You see the disdainful salute back. In the beginning, he wasn't even saluting them. And somebody said, "You're looking bad. You know, we've got to keep these suckers in line. You got to fake it, man. You got to fake loving this country that doesn't belong to you." Yeah. So now he's practicing a little salute, you know. But he really likes to make Marines hold umbrellas so that behind the French doors at the White House, his staff can laugh their ass off that Obama is putting down the military again. Yeah. And if you really want to get excited, Google YouTube, All This for a Flag, Michelle Obama, and get sick once again. But if you go to YouTube and you see McChrystal, you'll see what kind of a man McChrystal was. He was on the battlefield. He was on the battlefield. And I got his book, and there's a segment in his book where he, as a general, he went on a mission with about 40 special forces. And they raided a village. And they rounded up alleged terrorists, and they had them all face down on the ground. And one of the terrorists had a little son there. Well, alleged terrorist. He had his little son there. And when the father knelt down to on the ground, the son knelt down with the father, and McChrystal said his stomach turned. He felt so bad that a father should be shamed in front of his son like that. But that's war, man, and that's what you got to do. And since the beginning of war, men have posed as women to infiltrate and kill. So, and then he said they got into a big firefight, and his boys did pretty good. But there was something that he's a hands-on guy. He's a Patton type of general. You know what Patton said? No intelligent battle decision was ever made in a swivel chair. Okay. And what was Patton's motto? Attack, attack, attack. When in doubt, attack. Right? And you want to know what happened to Patton? Patton slapped a guy for cowardice, and somebody hit him with the anti-Semite label. And because of that, Eisenhower had to spank him, and so he took away the command of Patton's command of the invasion of Anzio and gave it to another general. And that was the warning to Patton: you either go along with us and behave, or you're not going to be a commander much longer. So what happened at the Battle of Anzio? It was a joint British and American venture and invasion. And they caught the Germans by surprise. And the Germans were routed, and they took the beaches quickly and efficiently. And then the British general wanted to stop for tea, and they rested for the night on the beaches. And the Germans reorganized, and the next day the Germans came back and killed a lot of Brits and Americans. Now, let's go back to Patton's rule of thumb. Attack, attack, attack. Once he took the beaches, he would have been on those Germans until they were all done. Attack, attack, attack. When in doubt, attack. Okay? So you see what happens? Political correctness kills. Political correctness kills the wrong people. So, go to YouTube. Oh, and another thing I like about McChrystal, in one of the photos you'll see, and it's the song is I Need a Hero. I think it's by Joan Jett. One of the things you'll see that you won't see in phony commanders, McChrystal is coming out of a building or going into a building, and there is a private who comes across him. And they're in passing, and the private snaps to and gives a sharp salute to the general. And you know what the general does? He sticks his hand out and shakes the private's hand. You won't see that. You'll never see that. And you definitely won't see it from Obama. So that's the type of guy McChrystal was. And who got him? Who got McChrystal? Rolling Stone magazine, a communist magazine. And that's everybody's in for the kill on American troops, and the communists do it the best. Jimmy from Brooklyn says, when the communists win, they win, and when they lose, they win. And you can't negotiate with them. They come to the table with nothing, and they leave with half. There used to be a joke about Kennedy and Khrushchev, and where they were negotiating, and somebody said President Kennedy, what would you like for lunch? He said, I'll take a ham and cheese sandwich. And I said, Mr. Khrushchev, what would you like? And he said, I'll take half of his ham and cheese sandwich. Yeah, unbelievable, man. Okay, So one of my big concerns here. 9-1-1 began in 1993 under the seeming reign of President Pinocchio Pants, who kicked the can down the road and gave us a 3,500 dead Americans on 9-1-1. And they blamed it. They want Hillary shouted, "What did Bush know and when did he know it?" How's that? And I have a theory about one of the opportunities that Clinton had to take out bin Laden. Bin Laden was in Afghanistan, and he had a guest. He had an Emirates prince from the United Arab Emirates, and they were allegedly hunting with falcons. And we have a clear shot, Mr. President, but there's an Emirates prince there. Okay, just let his father know that we're giving him a pass. We're saving his life today. And here's my address for where to send the money. Here's my Swiss bank account. It's only a hunch. It's only a theory. But I got to tell you something. When you do that big a favor to a rich Arab, he's going to take care of you. And you know what? He's going to take care of you whether you want it or not. One of the things I learned in doing business with Arabs, never tell them that you like something. Because if you tell them you like something, you're going to get it. That, because they're reading you. Okay, so having said that, we talked about going with you. Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah, 9-1-1 began in 1993 under the seeming reign of President Pinocchio Pants, who kicked the can down the road to 2001. Nam was a Democrat war all the way. They got us into it, and they left us to die there. 5 minutes after Nixon ended it, the VC Democrat Party blamed the entire war on Nixon. They have the strongest propaganda media in the history of communism. And I rattled off just a few names, but all in the newspapers, the New York Times. The New York Times endorsed Joseph Stalin. The New York Times endorsed Fidel Castro. They called him the George Washington of Cuba. The New York Times, under the editor, Durante, I forget his first name, covered up the murder of 10 million Ukrainians by Stalin, who cordoned off the Ukraine and starved all of the people into submission, took all their crops, took all their food, left them with nothing, took all their cattle, left them with nothing, took their farms and property, left them with nothing, to the point where he starved them to death. They ended up eating their own children. And if you Google it, you'll see pictures of dead Ukrainian kids. You will see, and you will read horror stories. Horror stories. There's one story I read, a journalist is on a train in the Ukraine, and he was eating something, and he threw the core in the garbage. He was eating an apple or a pear. He threw the core in the garbage, and the guy on the train went into the basket to get the core. Sad, man. You never want to be on the losing side, because losers do not get treated good. And I just saw a picture of from Memory, M-E-M-R-I. They got pictures, but it was either Memory or Wallet Shoebot's website. And they got pictures of Syrian heads on spikes. Man, it is 7th century all the way. 7th century. And I also have, it might be on www.captainsblog.us. And it's a picture of a terrorist holding a GI's head on a bridge. And he's holding it by the short GI haircut. And that is sad, man, that these people are animals. And I also saw a picture of two Palestinian kids. with their shirts, T-shirts pulled up, and taking the back of the shirt, you know, with their arms still in the shirt, and they're hanging the kids on a fence that protects a building that has their weaponry in it, so that when the Israeli pilots come over or helicopter pilots come over, they won't hit the building. How's that? How's that? And they were doing that to American troops when we went into Baghdad. If you remember, they were using the women and children as shields to shoot behind. Okay, so I told you about Nixon ending the Vietnam War. Obama is going to invite every jihadi from 57 Muslim countries to come kill Americans on the Afghan runout. I hope it doesn't turn out to be a rout. The Communist New York Times will give troop movements again. There will be more jihad footage showing the Muslim victory over dead Americans. It will be 100 times greater than Clinton's Mogadishu mile. Remember Mogadishu? Clinton sold out those guys that were rappelling down a hotel roof to capture Adid, the head terrorist, under orders from General Clinton, the draft dodger. How can you insult this country by sending to office cocaine addicts, potheads, sex addicts? How can you insult this country by sending to office bribe takers? How can you insult this office by sending communists, Marxists, Islamists to ridicule, to turn the United States into the useless of A? How can you send college professors into classrooms to brainwash helpless children who won't reach the age of reason until they turn 29, and dope them up? How can you do that? How can you betray your country in words? So, the Communist New York Times will give troop movements again. There will be more jihad footage showing the Muslim victory over dead Americans. It'll be 100 times greater than Clinton's Mogadishu mile. How will the godless, flag-burning, baby-killing, dope-selling party of death explain the first nuclear strike on the USA? Will they blame Bush using their communist or Democrat media? Will they say they're eliminating the threat of Democrat Ebola? 13 years into World War III and no one realizes we're at war. Every day our enemies get stronger as we pay them. It is time to restore our republic and hit the American reset button. Not the one Hillary Benghazi blood clot gave to her communist Russian friend. You know who's got Alzheimer's? The Democrat Party. They give it to us. They're the carrier. They give it to us. They make us forget all their atrocities in 2 weeks. Will she play? Will Hillary play Lois Lerna in the IRS story, the musical? And if you want to have some laughs, then go to YouTube and see IRS Abracadabra. Get close to the spelling, A-B-R-A-C-A-D-A-B-R-A, Abu Tam. And remember the Democrat quote, the quote of the day, who cares how they lied? Okay, I'm going to give you a tune. We're going to give you, we got America the Beautiful. We got American Elvis. We'll do American Elvis.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruit. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and he crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. To that last part. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's fantastic.
Poor Elvis. Drugs got Elvis. Drugs is going to get you, too. Nobody escapes the scourge of drugs. It's going to get you one way or the other. And now that rehab is in the health care plan, I call it self-inflicted wounds. I don't think that we should have to pay for self-inflicted wounds. If you know that you do something, it's going to be bad for you, and you do it, that's a self-inflicted wound. And the best way to beat drugs is never do the first one. If you never do the first one, you never have to beat the habit. It is really sad. It's easy to say never do the first one. But let me tell you, there are people who can do it. Do you know that there's a, I never knew this until I was about 16, that there's a group of Irishmen that'll never take a drink. Never. They'll never take a drink. They're called pioneers, and they take what's called a pledge. And they might be a minority, but you know what? They're a good example for people who are in the struggle. And if you do drugs, you're going to be in the struggle. And you cannot pick and choose the drugs you're going to use. You can't say, well, I'm only going to smoke weed. No, it don't work that way. It don't work that way. You're a scientist. You're an experimenter. You're going to try and experiment. Well, I'll only do it once. Yes. And then you'll be up the fat lady's burka. Okay. Having said that, enough preaching for one night. But drugs is terrible, man. And you know it's a communist plot. It's chemical warfare. Do you know that Mao Zedong grew the first poppy in 1929 for the American public? And his dream was to hook the entire country. How's that grab you? Here's a question. This is from a black conservative group. Not allowed to pray in public is the question. I don't know what the story's going to be, but we'll do it. Do you want the web content that was delivered? Okay. These people are the pastors in all of these bad neighborhoods in the ghetto that have to run the gauntlet, the drug gauntlet, and the abortion gauntlet every day. What happens when society grows uncomfortable with acts of faith? Dear partner, recently I wrote to you about the effect of secularism on our nation, how comfort, security, and the search for easy answers have us drifting further and further from God. This is a black preacher giving this, all right? And you know what? He's a minority in his own community. And those people, the faithful that show up on Sunday to sing God's praises, they're the real black Christians, not guys like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. Those are money changers in the temple who dip their shirt in the blood of the Lamb. At the time, I was thinking about a specific section of society. After all, there are still millions of devout Christians out there living good lives and rejecting the empty promises of secularism. I was concerned, however, about the inevitable confrontation between these two very different cultures. After all, secularism has succeeded in subverting the concept of separation of church and state until it no longer bears any resemblance to its original intent. Communists say if you tell a lie long enough, everybody will believe it, preventing the establishment of a state religion. Instead, it is now used to stamp out any public expression of faith. Listen, Christians have been nailed to crosses up until last night, and that will continue to be so. The thing that gets me is that the same antichrists who crucified him 2,000 years ago are still here. The result is that we now live in a society that is increasingly uncomfortable with even the simple acts of reverence. We see this every spring at graduation time when we hear stories of students warned not to mention God or the Bible in their valedictory speeches. Well, that's because their government schools privatize them, man. Privatize everything. Go capitalist. It has even crept over the government sphere to the private one, as in the case of Tammy Brantley of Dublin, Georgia. I never knew that there was an all-black Catholic church in Mobile, Alabama, and another all-black Catholic church in Montgomery, Alabama, and that two of Martin Luther King's kids were born in a Catholic hospital. Tammy is the co-founder of the Dublin Girls, a community group that combines fellowship with physical fitness. On this particular occasion, they had gathered at a local mall for an evening power walk. As they do before every walk or run, the group gathered in a circle to begin with a quiet prayer. When they were interrupted by a security guard who informed them they were not allowed to pray inside the mall, this was later confirmed by the mall manager, who later explained that the rule was put in place due to earlier problems with a group trying to proselytize to their patrons. Do you know who's great at doing that? The communists. They call them stunt makers. They will pull a stunt. And a good example is that they will go into a Jewish cemetery and knock over the tombstones and make it look, and put swastikas on and make it look like it was the Tea Party. And they've accomplished the mission. This was, and remember what Jimmy from Brooklyn says, when the communists win, they win, and when they lose, they win. This was later confirmed by the mall manager, who later explained that the rule was put in place, earlier problems. Okay, can the mall do this? It's private property, so it's their prerogative. But they've responded to a problem of harassment by marginalizing every expression of religion. That's the easy way to do it, you know what I mean? According to this rule, you can't even bow your head or quietly bless your Big Mac and fries in the food court before eating. The Dublin girls are understandably refusing to return to the mall until the policy is changed. But even if that change occurs, this is just one mall. What about the larger effort to silence people of faith? Freedom of religion, says, and freedom of speech go together. Because this is a part of a trend that sees devotion to God as a social nuisance, atheists make the best communists and communists make the best Democrats. Instead of seeing the hope and good deeds that follow, that's my saying, instead of seeing the hope and good deeds that follow from faith, they see an enemy. Militant atheists protest any public expression of faith, from public prayer to Christmas trees and nativity scenes. Advocates for same-sex marriage see religion as something that must be shut down if they want to achieve their agenda. Advocates for abortion see a stubborn insistence on placing the baby's life above the mother's choice. We had a little discussion tonight about this. We were watching a sad one, a surrogate mother, and she was from an Asian Pacific country, and she was used to create twins that would be taken by an American couple. So she was a surrogate mother, so the husband had to inseminate her. I think that's how it works. And she had twins. One of the twins was Down syndrome, so the couple only took, and you know what? These were Australians, okay? So they went out of Australia and they made two babies using a surrogate mother. And so the couple, the Australian couple, only took the healthy baby, and they left the Down syndrome baby. How's that? And then I'm recalling all of the American couples that are going to Russia and fighting the Russians to adopt Russian babies. I said, we're killing 4,700 babies a day. How about you stand in front of an abortion clinic and say, I'll take one. And my friend reminded me that these people don't want the baby. They want to destroy the baby. They don't want the baby to grow. They're not looking to go full term and give the baby away. I said to myself, yeah, you're right. But you know what? Money is a big factor. And if you're going to pay 10 grand, I'm sure you could stand out there with 10 grand and you'd get a taker. You get stand out there with 20 grand, you'll get a taker. So we got to start buying these aborted babies. We have to have a rally. Maybe we can do the lotto. We use the lotto. Instead of using the lotto for education that never sees the money, how about we use the lotto to ransom abortion babies? You're crazy. Yeah, I know. Hey, but when I meet my maker, I know it's not going to be Bo Pio. And he's going to say to me, Tom, what did you do to save my creation? And I'm going to say, Lord, I tried my best, but I really didn't try my best. Because if I tried my best, it would have ended. And he's going to say, you see what I mean, Tom? What am I going to do with you? I say, mercy, Lord. Show me some mercy. In all instances, every effort is made to silence people of faith and push them to the sidelines of public life. You're fighting communists. That's the sad part. You see, America doesn't realize that they're being dominated by a communist philosophy and a communist activity. They think the communists are only in Russia or in China, and they don't even believe they're in China. We cannot allow this. The more our society turns its back on God, the farther we slide into sin, selfishness, and depravity. For the sake of our children, who deserve better than a culture that does not value faith, life, or marriage. I got to tell you something. I got married in a church. It was the best move I ever made. I even had a choir sing at my wedding. Nobody I know had a choir, a full choir sing at their wedding. I used to be a choir boy, and I called in my marker. It was a beautiful wedding, and we made a big promise. We made a big promise. It was to God. We told God we're going to keep all those vows we took. And I am more in love today than I was the day I took the vows. So how can that be? Because we keep in touch with the right people. We must begin to heal the damage caused by so many years of secular values and bring the focus back to his teachings. So, how to heal the country? That is why CAAP is launching a new program to heal America. This is a black organization. This is not a healing ministry. This is an active effort to reach out across the country and reaffirm our most cherished values. We are creating a new movement for faith, family, and justice. And that begins with the phase one of our new program, which we plan to launch this year. CAAP is looking to bring the effort to several cities as soon as we can. And we know that this is just happening. What will it look like? We're working with Mission Education to formulate an exciting series of events, from youth and educational programs to workshops and seminars on marriage and the family. We continue to bring you more details as it develops, and we hope you will feel called to participate. So you got to check out CAAP, and they're looking for help. Please consider a donation to CAAP. And let me see if I can get the Coalition of African American Pastors, the Coalition for American Action and Principles. So if you're a brother, and a soul brother, and a soul sister, and if you're a pro-Christian, let us lend a hand. He's not heavy, he's my brother. That sure beats, he's not heavy, he is heavy, he's the IRS man. Okay, so let me jump to a tune. We'll give you a tune. I know the clock is running out. I got 15 minutes. We'll give you a bunch of tunes. We're going to give you an Italian one.
I eat antipasto twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, with her sad pizzeria. I keep soup and minestrone just to be with her alone, Angelina. Angelina, the waitress at the pizzeria. Ti voglio bene, Angelina, I adore you. Ti voglio bene, Angelina, I live for you. E passione. You have set my heart on fire, but Angelina never listens to my song. I eat antipasto twice just because she is so nice, Angelina. Angelina, the waitress at the pizzeria, if she'll be there, my cara mia. And I'll join in matrimony with the girl who serves spumoni, and Angelina will be mine. C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mamma. Picchi mia, tutta rara, mamma mia, pensaccio tu. Si tu doni alla musicante, iti vai, iti vieni, sembra lo strumento in mano te. Si ci piglia vanno sì, lo strumento, figli mia. Oh mamma, zoom, zoom, macola. Oh Oh mamma, zumba zumba baccala. Oh mamma, zumba zumba baccala. Zumba 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 baccala. C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, per merda. Picchi mi a cucciolare, mamma mia, per faccio. Se tu non ne affisci a olio, in ti va, in ti vende sempre baccala le maledere. Dici mi che appanno si, baccala le maledere. Oh, 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 mamma, in ti va su, su, ma baccala. Oh, mamma, in ti va su, su, ma baccala. Oh, mamma, in ti va su, su, ma baccala. Si, si, su, su, ma, eh, oh, mamma, in ti va su, su, ma baccala.
Like that one? Want to hear Americano?
Rock and roll, he's playing baseball, loves Marilyn Monroe.
Okay. 4 minutes left. I often mention that in the 50s, one out of three songs had God in them.
Answer me, Lord above, just what sin have I been guilty of? Tell me how I came to lose my love. Please answer me, oh Lord. She was mine yesterday. I believe that love was here to stay. Won't you tell me where I've gone astray? Please answer me, oh Lord. If she's happier without me, don't tell her I care. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, may I turn to you. Please answer me, oh Lord. But if she still thinks about me, please let her hear my prayer. Let her know I've been true. Send her back so we can start anew. In my sorrow, may I turn to you. Please answer me, oh Lord.
This day and age we're living in gives cause for apprehension. With speed and new invention and things like third dimension, you must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh.
I love you.
That's our show, folks. Have a nice night.